Jai Jai Sri Chaitanya Jai Nityananda.
Jai Jai Sri Chaitanya Jai Nityananda.
Jai Advaita Chandra Jai Gaurabhaktavrinda.
Jai Advaita Chandra Jai Gaurabhaktavrinda.
Jai Jai Sri Chaitanya Jai Nityananda.
Jai Jai Sri Chaitanya Jai Nityananda.
Jai Advaita Chandra Jai Gaurabhaktavrinda.
Jai Jai Sri Chaitanya Jai
Nityananda. Jai Advaita Chandra Jai Gaurabhaktavrinda.
Jai Advaita Chandra Jai Gaurabhaktavrinda.
We'll be discussing Ancha Lila, Chapter 1, Rupa Goswami's meeting with the Lord. This is his second meeting with the Lord. One day, while Rupa Goswami was writing his book, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu suddenly appeared. As soon as Haridas Thakur and Rupa Goswami saw the Lord coming, they both stood up and fell down to offer him their respectful obeisances. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu embraced them both and then sat. This is life in Jagannath Puri during Chaitanya Leela, during the manifest pastimes of Lord Chaitanya. He organized a place for Rupa Goswami to live. Actually, when all the devotees would come from Bengal to visit Jagannath Puri, Lord Chaitanya would arrange that they all had residences. And certainly he's arranged for Rupa Goswami, who's living with Haridas Thakur. Life is such that suddenly Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu appears. Krishna can come anytime he wants. You should not restrict Krishna to the schedule that he gives in Bhagavad Gita. But generally the Lord follows that schedule. But he's not bound by anything. But in order to make it easier to recognize him, Krishna tells you when he's coming, when his incarnations are coming. And you're only responsible for recognizing those incarnations that are mentioned in the Shastra. Otherwise, as the Bhagavatam explains, that just like you can't count all the drops in the ocean, similarly, you can't count all the avatars of the Supreme Lord. We should always think Krishna is suddenly appearing. He does that as his holy name. And we're going to especially talk about the glories of the holy name tonight. Rupa Goswami, we're going to hear, wrote such an exquisite, extraordinary verse glorifying the holy name of Krishna. By chanting Hare Krishna, Krishna is dancing on your tongue, and the Lord can suddenly increase your awareness of how he's already there. As soon as the tongue touches the holy name, there's your result. And according to how Krishna wants to bestow his grace, he can suddenly manifest in an extraordinary way that you haven't experienced before. And you never forget that. Everything is up to Krishna. When Krishna is pleased by the service of his devotees, then he can suddenly manifest before them. But then again, Krishna is always present. He says in Bhagavad Gita, Rasahama Sukhamdeya, he gives you the perfect photograph of how to see them in everyday life. Krishna says, I am the taste of water. Prabhasri Shashi Surya, I am the light of the sun and moon. So who here has not tasted water? Who here has not seen the light of the sun and the moon? You all have. So you've all seen Krishna. Now,
of course, there are different levels of intensity in seeing Krishna.
Nevertheless, the fact is, you've all seen Krishna. If anyone challenges you, have you seen Krishna? You can say yes. There you see Krishna. What is the difficulty? But that's just a picture. No, no, you are seeing that it's just a picture. We are seeing that it's Krishna. You can hear Krishna. You can see Krishna through your ears by chanting the holy name. How can you see through your ears? Yeah. We never told you that bhakti yoga is like a material harvest skill. So if you're going to practice bhakti yoga, you have to get used to these spiritual methods for viewing spiritual subject matter. Krishna explains in Bhagavad Gita that for one who sees me in everything, and everything in me, I'm never lost to him and he's never lost to me. The actual wonder is not, how am I going to become Krishna conscious? It's so difficult. The actual wonder is, how can you forget Krishna? It's okay. How can you forget Krishna? That's the great miracle you should try to figure out. How did that happen? How did I forget Krishna? When Krishna is everywhere, everything is his energy. So this is what you should scratch your head about. How did I forget Krishna? How was this awesome miracle possible? It is impossible except by the Lord's arrangement. By contact with the Lord's material energy, the spirit soul becomes affected by forgetfulness. By the Lord's arrangement. Ordinarily, it cannot be possible that the spiritual energy becomes overwhelmed by the material energy. But by Krishna's arrangement, because Krishna is the master of all the energies, such a thing can happen. This is a question asked by Vidura to Maitreya in the third canto of Bhagavatam. He says, pure soul is pure consciousness, and never out of such pure consciousness, either because of circumstances, situations, dreams. How then does the soul become implicated in nescience? The answer is that by the will of the Lord, one potency can overcome another potency. The external potency can overcome the internal potency by the arrangement of Krishna. Otherwise it can't happen. The Vedas tell us Asanga Hyam Purusha. There's actually no connection between the spirit soul and the material body. The junction, the so-called junction, is simply imaginary. That imaginary junction is known as ahankar, false ego. So, to give a gross material example, of course you cannot explain material, spiritual phenomena using material examples, but these two are not meeting, these two hands. But you can imagine in your mind that they're meeting. That goes on in your mind, they actually don't meet. So that imaginary meeting place between these two things, that's the false ego. The false ego makes material existence possible. Otherwise it's impossible. Why are we thinking we don't see Krishna? Such a foolish idea is the product of the material energy. Bhakti yoga means to re-educate yourself to see what's already there. We're not artificially adding Krishna to the world. Krishna's already present. He's there in everyone's heart. Ishvara Sarvabhutana Pradeshya Chumatishtiti. He's the controller in everyone's heart. He determines how much you remember, forget, how much knowledge you have,
Just like you can control a water tap, how much water comes out. Krishna can control how much you remember, how much you forget. And as we always explain, the devotee forgets material desires by the grace of the Lord, and the non-devotee forgets about devotional service by the grace of the Lord. So everyone is affected by forgetfulness. Now you take your pick how you want to be forgetful. Krishna, from within your heart, helps you to remember him, and he also helps you to forget your material desires. Otherwise, it seems impossible, yes? How will I ever get over these material desires? Will it be a battle all my life? Krishna helps you to forget. It's not that simply Krishna helps you to remember. He also helps you to forget. Arriving in the spiritual world is like waking up from a dream. You've always been with Krishna, and then you realize it. Your material existence is just the memory of an insignificant dream. And you're so busily absorbed in your relationship with Krishna, you don't have any incentive to remember the short, so short, tiny, small dream of material existence. So let us think how it is I'm not seeing Krishna everywhere. That is the miracle. When everything is Krishna's energy. Lord Chaitanya would appear in this world in three ways. First, by his direct appearance. You're reading about that now. Second, by something called Avirbhava Avatar. He would manifest himself like fire suddenly appears from wood. Similarly, Lord Chaitanya would suddenly manifest, especially in four places. In Mother Sachi's home, when she cooked and offered food. Wherever Lord Nityananda would dance in ecstasy. Kirtans in the house of Srivastava. And Raghava Pandit. Whenever Raghava Pandit was cooking and offering food, Lord Chaitanya would appear. In special manifestation. Avirbhava Avatar. And the third way Lord Chaitanya would appear is by empowering a particular associate. That associate would carry the presence of the Lord in his heart. It's like Nakula Brahmachari. But as we say, what you're hearing about now is the direct appearance of the Lord. This doesn't mean the other two ways are less. No, but they're different types of appearances. All the appearances of the Lord are qualitatively equal. As soon as Haridas Thakur and Rupa Goswami saw the Lord coming, they both stood up and then fell down to offer him their respectful obeisances. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu embraced them both and then sat down. This is Vaishnava love. Rupa Goswami, Haridas Thakur, they're paying their obeisances. Lord Chaitanya is embracing them both. This is the life of devotees. Appreciating one another. Trying to learn from each other. If you see that another devotee can do something better than you, why not learn from that devotee how to do it better? In this way, your experience in Krishna consciousness will be a wonderful learning experience. And you'll always feel ever fresh in bhakti yoga. So many things you can learn from each devotee. It's amazing. You can just meditate on their abilities. And you'll be amazed all your life. How, when devotees are properly situated in Krishna consciousness, they do amazing things. Inspiring things.
You could look at your association with devotees sometimes as inconvenient.
None of them do things my way.
Or you could look at it as an extraordinary learning experience. So many people don't do things my way. Let me learn about all these different ways of looking at things and doing things. This is how to plunder the treasure house of devotee association. Rather than getting sometimes a little bit snarly due to past conditioning, past material conditioning. Why not instead learn from others? Use your associating with others to learn how they're serving Krishna, how you can improve. It's a fact. You can, for the most part, look around, as you said before. You look around this room and you can see almost all the people, the devotees who are in this room. Ordinarily, in material circumstances, you wouldn't associate with such praises. But in Krishna consciousness, we're all brought together. So we might as well learn from each other. Different aspects, vistas, visions, sights in serving Krishna. Just like Tara, she brings the photographic vision. That's a particular way of looking at the world. And it can be used to inspire people in Krishna's service. You're having your sad people photo collection is ready for display?
Maybe.
You have it on CD? Alright. We'll have to have a first showing. It'll be the first showing?
To devotees.
Second? To devotees? Who did you show it?
To devotees at the parents.
Cheating. All right. Look at your association with devotees as a wonderful opportunity to learn from each other. Said Karna came here, plundered all the secrets, and then went back to Wales and making a revolution. Anyone can do that. You just have to be a bit sharp. Pick up little tips here and there. Apply them. The Lord inquired. He's inquiring from Rupa Goswami. What kind of book are you writing? He held up a palm leaf that was a page of the manuscript. And when he saw the fine handwriting, his mind was very pleased. Thus being pleased, the Lord praised the writing by saying, the handwriting of Rupa Goswami is just like rows of pearls. He hasn't even read it. Lord Chaitanya is just looking at the writing. I've seen a picture of that writing before. While reading the manuscript, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu saw a verse on that page, and as soon as he read it, he was overwhelmed by ecstatic love. I think we've mentioned before. Do you know such a thing as ecstatic love? No, such a thing does not exist in the material world. Ecstatic love. That is the property of the spiritual world. You can't imagine saying to someone in the material world, in a material relationship,
We've got an ecstatic love, don't we?
Not possible. Because it's not possible on the material plane, we think, oh, such a thing must not exist. It must all be exaggeration. If you want to understand ecstatic love, then you approach Lord Chaitanya Bodhi Chananda. You can read in Chaitanya Charitamrita what ecstatic love is. When Lord Chaitanya read this verse, written on a palm leaf by Rupa Goswami, as soon as Lord Chaitanya read it, he was overwhelmed by ecstatic love. What was that verse? Tunde tandava niratim vatanute tundavali lavsaye karna krodha kadambani gatayate karna buddhe bhyat sriham cheta pangana sanyani vijayate sarvendriyanam kritim no jane janita kiyadbhir amritai krishneti varna dvayi. I do not know how much nectar the two syllables Krishna have produced. When the holy name of Krishna is chanted, it appears to dance within the mouth. We then desire many, many mouths. When that name enters the holes of the ears, we desire many millions of ears. And when the holy name dances in the courtyard of the heart, it conquers the activities of the mind, and therefore all the senses become inert. This verse by Rupa Goswami is included in his drama, Vidagdha Madhava, which is a seven-act play describing the pastimes of Sri Krishna and Vrindavan. The other drama, of course, is Lavi Madhava, describing Krishna's pastimes in Dwarka and Mathura. When Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu chanted this verse, Haridas Thakur, upon hearing the vibration, became jubilant and began dancing and praising its meaning. Just by hearing this verse, everyone was plunged in an ocean of nectar. One has to learn about the beauty and transcendental position of the holy name of the Lord by hearing the revealed scriptures from the mouths of devotees. Nowhere else can we hear of the sweetness of the Lord's holy name. Another reason for associating with devotees is that you can relish hearing and chanting Krishna's glories in the association with devotees. Then the talks about Krishna are more powerful, as Nortapiladeva has said. Satam prasangam mama virya samvido bhavanti hrtkarna prasayana katha. Talks about the Supreme Lord are especially powerful in the society of devotees. And there's such pleasure for the ear to hear about Krishna in the society of devotees. Taj Joshina Ashu Apavada Bhakmini. Just by starting to hear about Krishna, the door to liberation swings wide open. Liberation means freedom from material suffering. Not a very big thing at all compared to bhakti. Bhakti means establishment in your loving relationship with Krishna. That establishment is far beyond any mere conception of freedom from material existence. Tajoshinarashu Apavaga Parkmini Shadala Tirma Dirnu Krishati. Then you get Shadha, firm conviction Bhakti, you get attraction.
And in bhakti, loving devotion to the Supreme Lord, they follow like that.
We need devotees. Yes, sometimes devotees do funny things. You know, this is a hospital. Krishna consciousness is a big hospital. And so some patients follow the doctor's instructions, some don't. Some partially do, partially don't. All these different blends and mixtures. You're in a hospital in the material world, so sometimes there's a bit of commotion. Sometimes patients don't take their medicine. Their health starts to decline. This is all part of life in a hospital. You should remember the luxuries that the hospital gives. The main luxury is that you can hear and chant about Krishna easily in association with others. You see how Lord Chaitanya, Haridas Thakur, and Rupa Goswami are relishing these verses. Just by hearing this verse by Rupa Goswami, Lord Chaitanya immediately was absorbed in ecstatic love. You see, this verse describes chanting on the liberated platform. This is something for you to look forward to. This particular verse describes how the liberated soul chants the holy name. This is not impossible for you. Not at all. It's the light at the end of the tunnel. You should know about the end of the tunnel. You should be able to see the light. That's what Lord Chaitanya is doing for you here in Chaitanya Charitamrita. He's letting you see through his pastimes the light at the end of the tunnel. That end of the tunnel is described by way of the chanting of the holy name of Krishna. I do not know how much nectar these two syllables Krishna have produced. When the holy name of Krishna is chanted, it appears to dance within the mouth. Sometimes when you chant, anyone can perceive that, the holy name dancing on their tongue. But Rupa Goswami is always in that exalted state. When that name enters the holes of the ears, we desire many millions of ears. So you desire many, many mouths to pronounce Krishna. Many, many ears to hear through the holes the holy name of Krishna. And then the holy name dances in the courtyard of your heart. And then the activities in your mind become conquered. So many devotees may say, oh, when will my mind ever slow down? I'm just amazed at what my mind does to me. It's got me strangled. But you never knew that before you started practicing Krishna consciousness. You thought that you and your mind were fine. And then you begin to practice bhakti yoga and you're shocked. What's going on between my eyes? Don't become depressed. Before taking up the practice of bhakti yoga, you knew nothing about your mind. You just assumed that this is it, this is me. Then when you start to clean, all the dirt starts to fly in the air. Go on with the cleaning process. Like you're dirty and you go into the shower. Will you get upset when dirty water starts to splatter around? Will you jump out of the shower? No, you'll stay in until you're thoroughly clean. You're glad that the dirt is being moved around, exposed, loosened.
you've ever been out in the fields doing agricultural work or gardening, or you've been in the forest, tramping or something, hiking, and you get mud and dirt on you from the ground. Then you take a shower and you see the dirt start to loosen off your skin. You get afraid. Oh no! Look at that! Dirt's it's showing, it's coming off. Oh no! You don't say that. You just stay in the shower and watch the dirt slide away. By chanting Hare Krishna, three things happen. Krishna asks Kaviraj Goswami, explains in Chaitanya Charitamrita. Number one, when your tongue touches the holy name, you are grinding to a halt the cycle of repeated birth and death. Number two, by your chanting of Hare Krishna, you're introducing blissful auspiciousness into your life. And number three, by chanting the holy name of Krishna, you initiate the flow of the waves of love of Krishna. Seems so simple. Three names, Hare, Krishna, and Rama. Krishna has so kindly agreed to be present as his name. What does Lord Chaitanya say? Dundaya Yuja Samahaj Nimamura. I'm so unfortunate. Lord Chaitanya is setting the example for us how to think of ourselves. So unfortunate. Although Krishna is there as his name, I have no attraction. No raga. The natural, original, pure state of consciousness when you chant Hare Krishna means, I want millions of mouths. Millions of ears. And then when the holy name enters into the inner chamber of your heart, then your mind becomes actually peaceful by the grace of the holy name. Otherwise, what are you going to do with your mind? Try to wrestle it? Okay, I got you. I'm going to hold on tight. You're not going to go anywhere, mind. I got you. You can't control the mind. That will always elude you. It will always escape. But when the holy name descends, so to speak, into the innermost chambers of your heart, simultaneously what happens is that your mind becomes peaceful by the grace of the holy name. And when the holy name dances in the courtyard of the heart, it conquers the activities of the mind, and therefore all the senses become inert. Interesting purport by Srila Prabhupada. It is said in the Padma Purana, Atat Sri Krishna Namadi Nabhavet Grayan Indraya. Chanting and hearing of the transcendental holy name of the Lord cannot be performed by the ordinary senses. The transcendental vibration of the Lord's holy name is completely spiritual. Thus it must be received from spiritual sources and must be chanted after having been heard from a spiritual master. One who hears the chanting of the Hare Krishna mantra must receive it from the spiritual master by oral reception. Srila Sanatana Goswami has forbidden us to hear the holy name of Krishna chanted by non-Vaishnavas, such as professional actors and singers, for it will have no effect. Any of you ever heard the Hare Krishna mantra sung by a professional actor or singer? Just nothing to it. No potency. It is like milk touched by the lips of a serpent, as stated in the Padma Purana. Avaishnava Mukho Yirnam
Bhutam Harikatamritam. Shavanam Naiva Kartavyam Sarpochistam Yatha Paya. As far as possible, therefore, the devotees in the Krishna consciousness movement should gather to chant the holy name of Krishna in public so that both the chanters and the listeners may benefit. Yes, since there's no way that there'll be any potency when non-devotees chant the holy name of Krishna, therefore it is necessary that devotees, as far as possible, gather to chant the holy name of Krishna in public. Then there's effect. Let us meditate on this verse by Rupa Goswami. I don't know how much nectar is contained in the two syllables, Krishna. And you want millions of mouths, millions of ears to chant and hear that holy name. Then when the holy name enters your heart, your mind becomes peaceful, it calms down because of the presence of the holy name in your heart. Any questions? You are following the bhakti process, yes? So, you're chanting while I'm away? The purport is not condemning actors. It's just saying if the actors have no Krishna conscious assets, their chanting of the Hare Krishna mantra will have no spiritual effect. Yeah. They may win the Academy Award or the Cannes Film Festival or something like that, but in terms of the spiritual effect from the holy name, it won't be there. Liberation from the material world is something. They'll get their start in devotional service by your efforts because it happens to be related to you. If you become very solid in Krishna consciousness, then your relatives, they can go back to that. This Shastra explains that anyone who sees the Rath cart as it passes, Mathiatra, they're liberated. But then what happens? After the Rath cart passes, they unliberate themselves by doing simple activity. So if you really care about your material family, then become solid in Krishna consciousness. And yes, generations of your family can go back to Godhead. May not be immediate. That was the amazing thing about Prahlad Maharaj. After his own father, Hiranyakashipu, tried to torture him and try to kill him in every way. After Hiranyakashipu was killed by Lord Krishna, Prahlad Maharaj asked the Lord to bless his father. And Lord Vishnu told Prahlad, your father is already blessed. Not only your father, but so many generations preceding him. That's why we say Krishna consciousness distribution is the greatest welfare activity.
Why is there the seemingly significant time delay between first chanting Hare Krishna and attaining liberation when Krishna could just liberate everyone immediately?
He has liberated everyone immediately. He's given the ticket to everyone, but you have to get on the bus. Krishna knows how to have the best love. He's a supreme enjoyer. Who wants forced love? Is that the way you think it goes? You just sit somewhere and then thousands of candidates come before you? No. Krishna wants to see not automatons, robots, but the voluntary use of your independence. You have to understand that Krishna is not simply the creator, maintainer, and destroyer. Krishna is a supreme lover. He knows how to arrange for the best loving exchanges. Therefore, he gives you independence. That makes the love more tasty. Well, what do you expect? You should just say to Krishna, all right, just make it so I'll be attracted to you. Make it so I'll be. You can say that, but you have to do your little bit also. That's what adds the sweetness. The voluntary proper use of your independence. Everyone always asks this question. Why doesn't Krishna make it so we're all just Krishna conscious immediately? Why don't you choose to be Krishna conscious immediately? No, why doesn't Krishna make it so I will be Krishna conscious? Why don't you choose? No. If Krishna, he should. Why are you passing judgment on Krishna? He knows what he's doing. He knows how to enjoy the best love.
It seems most inconceivable that we can be completely free of material desires at the end of life. Is it that Krishna can take them away at the last moment?
Why the last moment? I'm going to hold on to this until the last moment.
I mean, every little subtle.
That's the power of bhakti. Material desires are the shadow. The bhakti desires are the sunlight. Where there's the sunlight of desires for serving Krishna, there can't be the darkness of ignorance. Don't make such an importance out of the shadows. But if you've been in shadows all your life, then you'll see in that way. You give more importance to the light. Material calculation won't help you to understand how this is possible. You want to find out? Just continue seriously in the bhakti yoga process through thick and thin. You'll find out that you're starting to forget your material desires. And Krishna helps. So much so that even if a devotee who served Krishna all the life. At the time of death, if that devotee, due to bodily disturbance, that devotee forgets Krishna, Krishna forces himself into the mind of that devotee out of reciprocation for the devotee's service. Of course, we always put stress on the devotee remembering Krishna at the time of death, making all arrangements to remember Krishna when we give up the body. But we should also understand Krishna is doing his part. He's not ungrateful, sadistic. Just see, you served me 50 years. Now, at the moment of death, you forgot me. That's it for you. just see, like some kind of sadistic university professor who, you know, you study hard for 3 years at the uni, and then you think you're doing okay, and then the professor, the last exam, just gives you an impossible exam, rejoices when everybody fails. There have been teachers like that?
Yes.
Yeah? And just really get a kick out of it, you know?
Although one might realize that devotee association is the topmost association, what hinders us from fully relishing the association?
Oh, our frustrated material desires. I just want to look out for me. I want to look out for me and mine. What about my comforts? What about my mind? Isn't it some days you can just look at everybody and say, why aren't you taking my mind seriously? Hey. What is the purpose of your being in this world if you're not going to pay attention to my mind? Justify your presence in my world. And then we just look, and instead of seeing the glass of water as half full, we see it as half empty. Or is that funny? What's the other way around? Huh?
That's right.
Yes. I see it both ways, half full, half empty, but anyway. People give that example. You see, the inconveniences, the austerities, which are there in associating with different kinds of people. But you have to remember, why are you associating with these persons? You have to know how to utilize. You need to know the art of utilizing the association of devotees for generating the nectar of the holy name of Krishna's glories. You're allowed to do that, you know. Talks about Krishna and the association of devotees are extraordinarily, abnormally powerful. Satam, Prasantam, Mahavira, Samhita. That's why you should not simply push on in Krishna consciousness out of a desire simply to escape material suffering. That's all right for a while in the beginning, but then sooner or later you've got to move on to the positive platform of relishing Krishna's glories. And when you move on to that positive platform of relishing Krishna's glories, then you realize, I need devotees around me. But if your main motive is simply to escape material distress, if that's the main motive why you're practicing Krishna consciousness, after some time you'll think, well, what do I need these persons around for? especially when there's some inconvenience. If you always remember that devotees make it possible to taste the sweet nectar of Krishna's glories together, then you'll appreciate it. Of course, you have to hear and chant about Krishna with devotees, and then you'll realize that's the purpose of devotee association. If you don't hear and chant together, well, you won't realize that. I can see, looking back now, after so many years, 32 or so years of practicing Krishna consciousness, I can see that Srila Prabhupada knew what he was doing by creating the so-called ISKCON sandwich. That was the ideal program. Morning program, service during the day, sometime an evening program. You have no time for Maya then. You have direct remembrance of Krishna through his glories during the morning and evening, and during the day you remember Krishna by always thinking how to serve him better, how to increase your service. So one way or another, I see everyone should try to have some hearing and chanting about Krishna in the evening. Somehow.
There are so many situations when I try to enjoy situations or persons, and it's often on such a subtle platform that I'm not really aware of it. And sometimes you think about later on and you get ready to know what you just did. How can I be more aware of what I actually do, that I try to define my senses or the mind or the thoughts even?
From doing what?
From trying to enjoy situations like on
something. Enjoy what?
To enjoy the situation of classes, maybe when you're in Sankirtan, and you have kind of an exchange, but you sometimes even forget Krishna, so you just talk with this person, and you're not completely Krishna conscious at that time. It looks a little bit away, it becomes kind of even one day.
What do you talk about?
You just what they're doing and whatever, it's nothing special, but you just try.
Why? Why are you talking like that?
Because it just can't go to the people, and say Krishna is the Supreme Personality of God.
So you have a plan, a purpose, right?
Yeah.
Okay. So you're thinking, by talking like this, I can influence this person to serve Krishna, right?
Yeah.
Yes, or?
Yeah, sure. And otherwise it won't speak with
him. Okay, so then you're the doctor seeking to give the medicine.
Yeah.
You put the medicine on a sugar cube. You're thinking how to engage people in Krishna's service. That's thinking about Krishna. Right?
Yeah.
So? Thinking about how to induce people, influence people to serve Krishna. That's thinking about Krishna.
How can it be completely absorbed in that?
Chant Hare Krishna very nicely in the morning. And don't be selfish. Selfishness is the great enemy of real Krishna consciousness. See, Krishna consciousness is actually big-hearted. When you consider material desires, your heart shrinks. Your vision shrinks. I don't know if you've noticed that. So you start meditating on me and mine. Your heart becomes very small. Your vision becomes small. But when you start thinking of Krishna's service and the welfare of everyone, how everyone can be Krishna conscious, your heart becomes so expansive. Your vision becomes so big. The expansion starts with the holy name, and it and expands from there. Everything begins in your japa bag, and then from there it expands to hearing and chanting about Krishna and association with devotees. That expands to glorifying Krishna with those who don't know anything about Krishna or don't even know they're glorifying Krishna. Everything expands from your individual practice of the holy name. You should care about people. You should be so impressed by the value of Srila Prabhupada's books that you want them to taste just as you have tasted. And by doing that work, you get Krishna's attention. Because at the end of Bhagavad Gita, the Lord says, no one is more dear to me, nor will there ever be one more dear to me than the one who spreads my glorious stars. So you have that chance to be dear to Krishna. Sometimes it's a struggle, it's a sacrifice. But just see all the purification that comes from it. Get a taste for that service of glorifying Krishna, and then teach others how to get that taste. That can be your whole life. Everyone can do that. It's not simply that the men have a chance to base their whole life around Krishna's glories. The ladies can also. It just takes some skillful management, but it can be done. You just have to make the proper priorities in your life. Krishna wants us to go back to Godhead more than we want to. Another answer. Why doesn't Krishna just make us Krishna conscious? He's more eager that we go back to Godhead than we are. He's present as his holy name. Not only is he present as his holy name, but he's present as Lord Chaitanya. And Lord Chaitanya freely distributes the nectar of Krishna, the nectar of Krishna's holy name. So how much more easy can you make it than what Lord Chaitanya has done? That's the glory of this global Hare Krishna effort everywhere. People just say Hare Krishna and they're associating with Krishna. When they see a devotee and say Hare Krishna, that means they have heard from devotees before. And now they're repeating that. I was somewhere. Someone just came up and said that. So we don't say Hare Krishna just because it's the name of our group. Like, you know, what's your group? You know,
Man, you, yeah, are the Hare Krishnas, you're Manchester United. No, no, it's not like that. Hare Krishna, you can say, is the name of our group, but it's Hare Krishna is the presence of Krishna. Please remember this verse by Rupa Goswami about chanting Hare Krishna in the perfectional stage. It shows you the possibilities when your desires are healthy. Oh, I desire millions of mouths. Oh, I desire millions of ears. How much nectar is there in these two syllables, Krishna? Then the holy name descends into the courtyard of your heart, and your mind becomes still and peaceful. All right. So, shall we meet again tomorrow evening? Are there some festival or something like that?
No, this is during the day.
Ah, what time is it?
I think it's between 1 and 7, but you won't be there the whole time. Just
all right. All right, so we'll meet at 6:30 tomorrow evening. So I'm gradually working my way down the list of talking to everyone. So then we will get to you 3 more full days before leaving early Tuesday morning. Shri Krishna.